Rick with Yachting USA. We're coming from the wheelhouse of Motor Yacht Unbridled at the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show. And I am really, really thrilled to have my good friend Adam Langley. He's the host of Yachting Canada.
Co-host.
Co-host, yeah. Don't take Amanda out of that picture. She should be here, by the way.
I know. She sends her regrets next time.
All right, yeah. And I've got, make sure I get this pronounced right, Brad say it.
So it's a French name, and Boutelier.
Boutelier. Okay. I was going to say Boutelier, but Boutelier. Okay.
Boutelier is the French, but in, you know, pretty well everywhere as I go internationally, it's Boutelier.
Right. Yeah. And you have two shipyards, as I understand, East River Shipyard, and you've got the Lunenburg Shipyard?
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. So we're working with a couple Canadians here in South Florida.
It's Canadian sandwich.
Yeah, look at this American right between. I love it. And these guys are up in Nova Scotia, God's country up there in eastern Canada. And it's so fun to have them down here. Adam, you and I, we had a conversation, gosh, going back to last March, I think.
Yeah. It's pretty serendipitous how this has all come together. We met through Yachting International Radio owner Rhea, and we ended up on your podcast at the Palm Beach International Boat Show last March.
And it was so much fun. You said, hey, I want to do that too.
Well, it's so funny. Yeah, we just thought there was a bigger story to tell about Canada and working in collaboration with yourself to talk about our connected coastlines.
Right.
And we ended up with a Yachting Canada podcast to complement your work. And here we are.
Brilliant.
Hey, Fort Lauderdale doing our first collaboration.
Yeah. And I can't wait to come to the Nova Scotia International Boat Show. Sorry about that. We need to work on that. Maybe we can get a big boat show up your way someday.
Well, that's an ambition to definitely have a boat show or a super yacht summit or another kind of a platform.
And to be clear, one of your mission between you and Amanda and what you do with your business is essentially to create an awareness of destination Eastern Canada, Nova Scotia specifically, Halifax in that area. So Super Yacht East Coast is a business that is really focused on destination.
Yeah, Superyacht East Coast is our platform to really develop the opportunity to attract the superyacht industry to Eastern Canada. So we do a lot of advocacy work. We work with our local destination service providers, such as Brad and others, to build the confidence in Eastern Canada as a destination. So we're focused on improving infrastructure, the services, and being in market, telling our story, such as being here today with you at the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show.
Well, I'm glad to have you guys here. I hope you're having a good time here in my hometown, South Florida. You Canadians are always welcome. It's one of the reasons why I don't pay state income tax. Thank you. Just saying.
You're so welcome.
Brad, for those who follow my show, you'll find that I'm really big on the history of the maritime industry. We talk about the maritime industry, not just the yachting industry. And I love going into legacy. I love going into multi-generational businesses. And I understand that the Lunenburg Shipyard has been around for a while.
Absolutely. So, you know, you're talking about yachts and you're talking about the maritime industry. You're talking to the right guy for Atlantic Canada. I come from a commercial marine background, from a cadet to a master mariner of commercial vessels. So
awesome.
I'm an unlimited captain. The oil industry was a big industry for us, and sending natural gas down to New England, that kind of thing. And I was always a pleasure boater as a kid.
Wow.
I started on small little aluminum boats and small sailboats, and then worked my way up. And now I'm looking at big white boats for myself, which is kind of fun. So part of the reason I'm here is the sun and looking for another boat for myself. And
yay.
And then sharing the great, what we have in Atlantic Canada. Cool. So the Lunenburg Shipyard is one that's got a lot of history and a lot of maritime tradition. From the same as Gloucester, you know, the schooners going out to fish off the Grand Banks and rush back quickly to bring the catch back.
Right, didn't last long unless they salted it down or iced it somehow, right?
Exactly, yeah. So you know, like New England, a lot of those ports have sort of slowed down a bit and they basically, were obsolete. And the bigger ports, are for the shipping and everything else.
Right.
And these ones created a new opportunity for stuff like this.
Right. So your role now with the shipyards is to turn them into like a destination in Eastern Canada.
Absolutely. So, we see it happened a bit already. And then, the same thing as happened in New England, we're pristine. We're new and exciting. There's things to see. It's a great venue. You know, I've traveled internationally all over the world, and I love cruising Nova Scotia, South Coast, Newfoundland, St. Pierre. You know, it's some great waters. And so part of what we're doing is, in our part of it, is saying, look, we've got the infrastructure. We've got the folks to, you know, to help support that. So, you know, it's a passion for us, and it's also the opportunity to build our businesses.
Awesome. Well, you're on board Unbridled. She's a Trinity built. I think the keel was laid back in 2006 or seven. T39 was the build number. I know that because I was a supplier to this build. I was working with Jeff Van Allen and Phil Nuss and the group at Trinity that were producing these beautiful boats. And she's 58.2 meters actually. And we were talking earlier about the fact that you've got a shipyard that we can take this boat to and actually pull her out and service her up in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
You know, she's about a total gross tonnage of about 1,100 full fuel and water and such. And you go to what, 1,500 or 1,600 tons?
Yeah, our larger lift is 1,600 tons, smaller ones, 1,200 tons. Then you get to our other facility there where it has a 150-ton travel lift and a 75-ton travel lift. And so... You know, these guys, typically in Atlantic Canada, you know, you see a white boat and our commercial industry, folks that are hauling the commercial vessels, they don't want to touch white boats. It's, you know, different market, different challenges and everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where, you know, our market, where we started with the smaller vessels, the 50, 70 footers, which is a big business for us. And then we just carried that into, we have the commercial knowledge and skill sets for, you know, dealing with the shafts, rudders, through hauls, and then, but we also have the glass teams, the woodworking teams and all that. So it's, we understand these. So it's a good opportunity, a new business for us.
And I think Brad's yards are changing the perception of marine services in Atlantic Canada to be just commercial focused or fishing focused.
Right, right.
That is obviously a big part of the work that's done in our region.
Right.
But the fact that through the Lunenburg and East River shipyards, yachts can have confidence in receiving the services and being able to hold out in a very professional way and in a growing way through the work that Brad's doing.
Well, it sounds to me like you've got increasing demand for your shipyards in the area as a destination, which is kind of really cool to know. It's that growth in that development of your market, so to speak. What amenities do you bring? Obviously, it's a working shipyard, so if somebody dings a prop or needs a rudder shaft seal replacements or something, obviously it sounds to me like you can handle that just fine. But outside of the nuts and bolts, are there other amenities, crew amenities, owner amenities that you bring to the table that make the destination something special?
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing, and that's something Adam's building on. So what we're providing is the infrastructure. We've got docks that were, they're great for fishing boats and that kind of thing, but now we're getting, acclaim, and people are saying, great, you're upgrading your docks, you're making so that these vessels can come alongside, you can accommodate us, and then tie into what Adam does and some of the destination stuff of what does the area offer and that sort of thing. So
right, and I think just the fact that the Lunenburg shipyard is adjacent to the community of Lunenburg, which includes a working waterfront, and it's a UNESCO World Heritage community. So the destination in itself is spectacular.
Wow.
So if you're to take a vessel, not only are you going to receive professionally delivered services, you're going to be in this culture and community of a traditional working fishing village, surrounded by Canadian icons, including Blue Nose 2, which is our iconic sailing vessel that's on our currency or Canadian dime. The list goes on.
Wow. Yeah. So as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, I at least know how things work in the States, and I don't pretend to understand how things work Canadian, but are you limited or constrained on how you develop your properties and do what you do?
It's a great point. I'm smiling on this one because it had its challenges. So, you're coming in and how, for me as a small kid that, had a small aluminum boat with a 4-horsepower outboard on the back, became the person that was going to carry on the legacy of Lunenburg Shipyard. It blows my mind.
No pressure.
But the right vision. And we look at it and it's, okay, there's a history to maintain here. There's a culture and how things were done that we need to maintain for UNESCO, but we also need to make this a viable business. We need to you know, drive the economy and keep things going. So we're balancing that, and it's working really well, and we have the support of the town, which has been challenged in the past in that area, but they're seeing what we're doing. We're looking after these traditional vessels. We're hauling the blue nose out. We're keeping these old railways up and running and modernizing them and spending money on it and bringing in new technologies and that kind of stuff, but all in a sustainable way.
Right.
And then turn around and you look at some other areas that are just outside UNESCO. Okay, we've done this in your UNESCO World Heritage Site. Now work with us here so we can provide a development that can bring in these super yachts and that can look after this. So it's a bit of give and take.
And partnerships are critical, right?
And it's working well.
Yeah.
So, Adam, I would like to ask, too, how does Super Yacht East Coast contribute to these advancements, what you're doing to serve the super yacht community in the region? That's kind of your stick. And what's your role in all of this as you're working with Brad here?
We've really become that trusted voice that communicates all the opportunities that can support bringing your vessel to Atlantic Canada, be it for a recreational visit or for planned or unplanned marine services. We've been coming to the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. It's my 13th year. We've been playing 13. A very long game.
How many times did you come down here without Amanda? I just want to get this on the record.
I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment on that one. Can I do that to them in the States? Can the Canadian take that?
We'll cut you some slack.
I came down years ago as this Canadian kid and was sort of brought into the industry and, luck played a role. I met the chairman at the time at the United States Super Yacht Association, Tim Davey, who within 20 minutes kind of recognized what I was doing and took me around this venue and introduced me to 100 people in a day. It was thrilling and eye-opening all at the same time, because there's so much misunderstanding and so many perceptions and stereotypes about our region that were limiting our ability to be recognized as a destination. So our first goal was to really build that understanding, work with the industry to have them build their confidence in our Nova Scotia, Atlantic Canada, Eastern Canada as a destination. So to answer your question, now we are sort of that de facto voice that raises up and builds on the strength of our marine sector and is really leading the charge around marine tourism, supported by the services that are really kind of that foundational support that gives the captain the confidence to bring a boat to Canada.
Cool. And that's essential, no question about it.
Well, and a big part of that, and Amanda's not here, so she can't speak to that. That's this huge piece of that is telling our story. So marketing is absolutely critical. And a lot of our clients, their heads down doing the work that they're really good at. So their stories aren't necessarily being told and broadcast. And so that is where we come in, working with partners like Brad and others to tell the story and really raise the profile of the region.
Excellent. You're plugged into the industry and you're essentially authority in what happens in Eastern Canada. What do you see shaping the future of yachting in the Eastern Canadian Atlantic region? Are there influences that are coming up from the South, or what do you see actually making the market more attractive to the yachting industry?
Over the last few years, and I think you've seen this globally with the Expedition yacht being one of those, and Explorer yachts really coming online and people pushing their boats to go further. We see ourselves, as an under-discovered destination. I mean, boats do come to our area, but there's lots of room. In Eastern Canada has 43,000 kilometers of coastline. You know, Atlantic Canada on its own has more than 13,000. We are a maritime community, and I think at the local level, and Brad's a great example of this, the trends are to service that market, to elevate the services, elevate the marine supply chain, elevate the infrastructure to meet the demands and the expectations of these visitors. And on the trends on the visitor side is like they're looking for new destinations. And captains, we're on the bridge of unbridled. Look at all this technology. They want to put it to work.
Right.
They don't want to sit in a marina.
No, no.
They don't want to do milk runs are, for certain clientele. I think what we're looking to attract or what we do attract are those explorers. And if I could quote Captain Chris from Archimedes from a few years ago, when he was in the region, spent several weeks in Atlantic Canada, and he felt like he had reconnected with his maritime roots exploring Atlantic Canada. It was that authentic to him.
Nice.
I can't get a better commentary than that.
Excellent.
And it's something different. I mean, I cruise down here over to the Bahamas. I love that kind of thing. I look forward to bringing the family down here and showing them this more, cruising through the Caribbean and that kind of stuff. That's great. It's busy. You know, I've done the same thing in New England and you know, Chesapeake and that kind of stuff, which is great. But we also enjoy back home, Nova Scotia and the East Coast, because it's different. There's some, you know, you can go step on an island that you feel like you were the only person there for months. And,
wow.
And you actually were. And, you know, it's there's a lot of pristine and neat stuff. And we're starting to see a bit of it. I'm cruising down the coast with my family and I look around the corner and, well, there's a 200-foot yacht behind this island and they're just out exploring and they're doing stuff and stepping foot on places that have not been touched for a while. And
right.
It's kind of
wow.
Neat, but, you walk around and doing that.
You literally get away from it all.
Yeah.
You literally can. I think that's part of our role, is to make sure that the market is aware of all the supports and destinations, because we want to build a sustainable industry at the same time. You don't want to see ports overwhelmed by being thought of as being the only place to go. So making sure that broad awareness of the itinerary is something we're supporting.
Well, we're on a 58-meter yacht that is in the business of charter. And I know the owner, Mr. Glidewell, has a very strong focus on creating unique and special charter experiences for his clients. So a boat like this going up into eastern Canada has a lot of options, I assume.
Yep. I'd say, you know, Nova Scotia, the Labrador Lakes, you know, further up that south shore of Nova Scotia, Mahone Bay, Lunenburg. And, you know, if you get more adventurous, I know we're supposed to be focusing on Nova Scotia, but St. Pierre, South Coast, Newfoundland, Greenland, Iceland, like these
well,
are exciting
go.
Places,
yeah.
Right? And
right.
It's a pretty neat spot.
Well, and up into the St. Lawrence Seaway and the Great Lakes, you can
absolutely
penetrate, you know, central Canada, and then you can cross back over into the States and be visiting the coastline of the Great Lakes and back in the U.S.
Sounds like an incredible itinerary.
Yeah, we're also getting a lot of vessels coming up that, you know, they'll come into, you know, Canadian waters. They can, you know, for service work and all that kind of stuff, the dollar works in their favor. The, you know, our value for what we do is good. And we're finding a lot of people will come cruise, keep their boat there for the winter, and then they're already up in that cruising area, and then they can set their whole summer up to a new cruising itinerary and not have to make that big transition.
So. Brilliant. So, Brad, I talk a lot about the business of yachting and the business of shipyards and vessel construction and service, obviously.
Mm.
Your shipyards, have they been purely repair yards? Have you actually at one point in time built vessels?
So the Lunenburg Shipyard has built vessels. We're very focused on repair and maintenance. You know, there's definitely working into federal procurement for commercial vessels. There's Cape Horn yachts that you know, are very interesting and built in Nova Scotia. Like those are the trawler style fishing vessels, trawler style yachts, and that's something that I think would be a good market for us to look into similar vessels like that. But very much the repair and maintenance has been a big part for us in recent times. That's where the demand is. That's where the work is.
No question that the refit work is a big driver. And frankly, in the business of yachting, it has the potential for the best return, the highest profit potential for sure. Building new construction is it's a long game, and you know, it's a low margin proposition.
Absolutely.
But that said, you know, it's interesting. We've watched this industry over the last several decades continue to grow, but over the last several decades, we've watched the new construction industry in North America, United States and Canada, shrink significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I like talking to shipyard owners about that reality, because, you know, it would be serendipity to see that trend reverse at some point in time. It's a tough ask.
Yeah,
you know, the cost of labor and you know, like I said, the margins you're working in are skinny. Not a lot of motivation to get back in, but it's certainly it's a starting point for our industry to put inventory in the water, and big huge advocate for shipyard success.
Absolutely, no, we've been pretty blessed, and you know, workforce. We've you know, a lot of places have challenges with workforce now, and you know, our teams, the quality of work and the skill sets these folks have has been so impressive, and then it translated into the yachts and stuff as well. It's been good.
Do you have apprenticeship type programs or working with community colleges or what does it look like?
We do a bit of that. You know, quite honestly, we bring people in and you know, some folks are just getting started, and everyone has strengths and skill sets. And oftentimes let's get in the door. Let's start and let's find out where it goes. And some people decide they really enjoy the, you know, they're good with their hands. They can do, paint and glass and
right.
that kind of stuff. And then other folks are, you know what, we're great at running travel lifts and moving boat stands like me.
Right.
That's other than running businesses, I'm good at moving boat stands and driving boats.
Right.
But, you get me to do some fine glass work or painting and I'm not your guy. But, we've been extremely blessed in building people up and, they believe in what we're doing. They've watched
cool.
our businesses grow and what we're offering and bringing in the industry that's coming along with it. And it's pretty exciting.
So one of the trends in shipyards here in the South have been I think the market's driving this is a focus on creating a place that captains and crew want to come to. I know I've got a lot of captains crew that follow the show that are aware of what I'm talking about. And I would tell you that Rybovich did probably the best job to kind of put focus on this a number of years ago when they built out their facility in Palm Beach and put in a crew accommodations and a place for crew to recreate and to get off the boat and have a little space. And then following that, you see that happening at Lauderdale Marine Center and at Bradford Marine, and other shipyards are starting to say, okay, we need to attract the boats to our shipyard, and we're going to help do that by creating a better place for crew to come. Has that come into your thoughts at all?
I've got yeah. both sides of that, and I'm looking forward to check out Rybovich tomorrow. I'm going up to check out a boat tomorrow. With regards to that, yeah, both sides of that. So East River Shipyard is a little bit remote. Basically we bring your vessel in and we look after it and deliver it afterwards.
Gotcha.
You have to travel 30 minutes to actually, be at your vessel from a place of accommodation or a place that people want to stay. Bring in Lunenburg, and it was like all of a sudden, here we are.
Yeah.
We're right in the middle of somewhere everybody wants to be. There's bread and breakfast, restaurants. It's a great place to spend time. So now all of a sudden we have a shipyard that's in an awesome town. Fun place to be. Crews love it. The yachts that show up in the summer, they come and they do refit periods. We, do engine overhauls for them, glass work and, deck work and all that kind of stuff. And the crews have 6-8 weeks and they just check out Lunenburg. They got their bikes. They've got, everything else. And they just enjoy the town. And
it's 1 hour from Halifax, which is the largest city in Atlantic Canada. So it's close to the airport. It's
golfing,
very convenient.
Else, yeah.
We should mention, too, that just this past summer, Brad and his team, they installed purpose-built docks to support the larger yachts. They opened up what's called Old Foundry Marina, which is another piece of the puzzle.
Old Foundry Marina, what is that?
Well, the Lunenburg Foundry, which is one of the foundational businesses of Lunenburg, was just that. It was a foundry, a cast.
What were you? Were you doing bits and
well,
and
building ships, making propellers, making
shafts, right, yeah.
like making
everything.
Yeah. Stoves.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. So there's that heritage that carries on, and what's impressive for me and others, and why I really like enjoy working with Brad is his such respect and passion for the history of the maritime industry and how that comes through in their projects.
That's to me, that's always so fascinating when you see the history. Any of the blast furnaces still there?
No, actually, it's pretty well slowed down a lot of that. So
it's a shame, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. That is cool though. That was the days when you did it all vertically aligned in house. Be self sufficient and creative. So you're going to be leaving South Florida in the near future, heading back up to the
we call the Great Blue North now. Right? Just going to go Great Blue North to
Great
play
Blue
on our
North.
Maritime.
Ambitions
here.
This is not the time of year you want to come visit us. I mean, we're just moving out of a beautiful fall. That's a great time to come up and check out the change. And we had a great October this year, but between now and June is probably a little bit slow. That's why I like being down here
and head to the Bahamas a little bit.
Exactly. That's what we'll do, our cruising down here, and then look forward to being back north and doing some more exploring up there this summer. So
that's brilliant. And Adam, what are you and Amanda going to be doing this winter? I mean, you've got your business interests and you got a podcast to get out. So
yeah,
what's your thoughts?
Well, with the Yachting Canada, we have a list of guests lined up for over this winter to tell the story of the people and places of Canada that make it yachting's next great destination. We're also working with partners across Nova Scotia, such as Brad and others, to continue to coordinate our efforts to raise up the awareness of our region as a destination, and educating the marine supply chain and other businesses on how to, you know, elevate their services and participate in this, what we think is a significant opportunity, not only for Eastern Canada, but to make that connection with New England and Maine and extend yes. that itinerary that benefits everyone. This yeah. is a really collaborative opportunity. We're planning to go down to Boston, for example, this fall and talk with the Yacht Haven or Boston Yacht Haven Marina, which we have a relationship, and
nice.
Four Points Marina. And we see stuff, every, this is connected coastline that we've talked with you before. So a lot of marketing initiatives, a lot of over the winter, again, working towards the Palm Beach Boat Show, which perhaps we'll do another collab there.
We'll have to. Update.
We'll
Absolutely.
Have to provide an update there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So as we wrap this up, I'm going to say that Tristan and I are going to be hopping the pond in a couple of weeks, going to Amsterdam. So we'll get to experience some of this great northern climate, this beautiful sunny Dutch weather that's probably going to be rainy and cold. But we'll move the show over there for a week and start talking to our shipyard friends and collaborators in Northern Europe, which will be a really, really cool a segue from what we're doing here in South Florida in the U.S. markets. Brad, we would love to follow up with you after the winter time. I'd come up to visit, but I'm allergic to that kind of cold stuff.
Do not come right here.
But really, it'd be cool to see what you guys are doing going into the spring and summer, and maybe get a better insight into visually what you put together up there. I think
we'd love to host you there. We'll get you on the back deck of something nice as well,
and,
we'll definitely do that. You know.
So we'll get you on Blue Nose, too.
There you go.
That'd be cool.
Right?
Yeah.
That'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun. I'm glad you guys came down to South Florida and visited with us. And we'll look forward to the last couple of days of this boat show. And looks like we got sunny skies and winds have dropped down. So, it's good boat show weather.
Thanks for having us, Rick. We really appreciate all the support you're providing to us as we collectively work together to raise up the opportunities for our region.
That's good stuff. It's good stuff. Brad, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
As always, Adam.
Pleasure.
All right. Miss you, Amanda. And we will see you all later.